The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. There's only one place really to start today's show, and that is at the Etihad, where Manchester City lost against Spurs by 3-2. I don't think many saw this coming, including probably Antonio Conte. If he could have rescued, opened his account for Spurs to make it 1-0. Nice break, wasn't it, Craig? Spurs making the most of that high line from City.
City defending with too high a line. Ruben Dias trying to play offside, and Harry Kane playing some great balls in behind for Son. And then, you know, the second half, Harry Kane himself was, whenever Tottenham had the ball, his range of passing and his movement was excellent. And he just gave a reminder to Man City what they might have had had they came to an agreement with his transfer in the summer.
Yeah, Gundogan got the equaliser in the first half. Harry Kane then re-established the lead for Spurs to make it 2-1. Late penalty for City would see Mahrez score from the spot to make it 2-2. It looked like that would be it. But then Kulusevski into the brilliant Harry Kane, who would score that late winner to give Spurs the victory. And of course, it blows open the whole title race. Now, Liverpool coming from behind to beat Norwich, meaning that it's just 6 points that separate the top two. And Liverpool have a game in hand. Let's welcome in, shall we, Don Hutchinson and Nader Manua to the show. Nader, how was that as a City fan?
Do you know what? Spurs, in some ways, have been City's bogey team recently, and you could see that again today. But to talk about those goals that they conceded, as Craig was alluding to there, they were so passive with some of the things that they did that there's no surprise those 3 goals were conceded. With the first one with Diaz, there's no pressure on the ball anywhere, so to try and hold a line that high seems criminal. And then for the next 2 goals, not really applying pressure as players are whipping balls into the box with runners and people having time and space. You know, it's... I'd say it was alarming, but I think they're going to address that. And obviously City, you know, they're still in the driving seat. We can talk about Liverpool potentially beating City, but the fact is City are thinking about beating them as well, and they are very much still the number one team in the country. So it's not the end of the world, but some of the mistakes that they've made and making them against someone like Harry Kane, like against Son, against Kulusevski, it's just criminal. And I think overall it's a big surprise because I thought they'd do a lot better, to be honest.
Don, this is why we love this sport, isn't it?
It is, because I predicted 4-0 Man City yesterday, and I told you a couple of weeks ago that Kulusevski doesn't score and doesn't get an assist. He got both today. I didn't see this result coming, but they were brilliant, Man City. I mean, Harry Kane had the game of his life. His hold-up play, as Craig said, was sensational. His first touch was immaculate. He was bringing players into the game. The little ball around the corner for Son for the first goal on his weaker left foot, Harry Kane. Sensational ball, and he grew in confidence, coming away with a brace. And another one that's just passed the audition. We talked about Mbappe passing audition midweek. Well, if City have forgot about Harry Kane, well, don't sleep on him, because that performance was amazing from him today.
Don't forget they had one chopped off, rightly so for offside. Kulusevski was just offside. This reminded me of one of those performances that Man City give when they get knocked out of a Champions League.
Yeah.
Where they play some great stuff. They dominate. I mean, the possession stats at one point, Jim Beglin on commentary said to Pete Drury, Pete, in the second half, the graphic's coming up now, it's 90%. But the only thing that matters is the ball hitting the back of the net. And, you know, City huffed and puffed. But what Tottenham did when they did have possession, which wasn't a lot, was magnificent. Mm-hmm. Harry Kane... And he wasn't the only one, but Harry Kane's general awareness and ability to see what is around him and still have that body strength. He holds the ball up, he wins balls in the air, he's the best passer of the ball that Tottenham have, by far, but better passer than any midfielder, and he's the best goal scorer. I mean, it's just, and when he puts all that together and they can get some service and runners off him, but as Nedim said, this is not a new movie for Man City against Tottenham. They've done it to them. They did it to them at the start of the season. They did it to them, I think, last year or the year before, where they just waited and waited and waited, and then they hit them in behind.
Right.
And I think it is a lesson to be learned for Man City, because their general play was pretty good. But defensively today, I just always felt they were a little shaky. And fair play to Tottenham, because they've been rank rotten recently, and he needed something tangible.
Yeah.
Because he's gone loopy, Conte. He's all over the parish. He'll be telling people they're going to win the league now. Because yesterday he was telling people they were probably going to get relegated.
Yep.
He doesn't know if it's New Year or Christmas Day, right? But so he just needed something. And he got it big time from his team.
And he did it all without what? Hill, Ndombele,
Lo Celso, Dele Alli,
all his big players that he'd lost.
Four best players that were never going to play at the end. Sold them all. And guess what? The only one thing I would say was, Bentancur got lucky today because that was a welcome to England. This is the pace of play in England, particularly when you're playing elite teams. And he's a very good technician, Rodrigo Bentancur. But when you play the likes of Man City and you're a central midfielder, you don't get the amount of time on the ball that he thought he was getting. He got stripped of it half a dozen times in the first half, and he was lucky to get away with that. So, a good day all round for Tottenham.
How much of an anomaly is this from City's perspective, particularly in defence, Don, or how much is it a concern going forward?
No, I think it's the way they play. I think Liverpool and Man City are exactly the same. It's all risk and reward. They go high, they don't mind, they back themselves, they make the pitch small, they try and press teams high up the pitch, and they try and get numbers, and they try and force the issue. When a player like Harry Kane turns it on today, we've seen Jamie Vardy in the past, but Leicester caused Man City all sorts of problems because of his pace, where Harry Kane's different. He relies on his football brain. He comes short. It wouldn't be panic stations if you're Man City. What it is, it's just a reminder and a bit of a body blow in terms of what Liverpool done. Just to remind everyone that thought that the title was done a month ago that this is far from done. It's now back to six and they've still got to play Liverpool that can go all the way back to three. And they've got some difficult games coming up. You know, they've got Everton at Goodison next, which won't be easy. People might look at Everton, but they're a different animal, I think, at Goodison under Frank. And then they've got Man United. So it might just be a sharp reminder to get refocused again.
Everton looking different under
only,
Frank.
Only Don.
No, Goodison. A different Goodison. Animal.
When they've just lost it,
at Goodison. Listen to what I said.
He's only had one game at Goodison in a week.
100% record.
Yeah, there we go. Right, away from the Frank Lampard loving that somehow we got
him. I'll tell you what, Ruben Diaz tried to play, I don't know what Nedham thinks, but he tried to play as a defender offside on two occasions in the first half, both against Son.
Yeah.
And Son almost get in on the second occasion. The pass was just slightly behind them. I mean, I'm all for high lines and pressing and stuff, but sometimes there's a high line and there's a crazy line. And I thought today, City were just pushing the envelope a little bit too far, bearing in mind the players that they knew.
Yeah.
Guardiola's talked about it. We know we're going to get runners from midfield. We know Harry Kane's great at getting it and turning and passing. And we know Moura came on as a sub, he didn't play. But the likes of Lucas Moura when he's on the field and Heung-Min Son will run in behind. And if you leave them that amount of space, that's alarm bells.
Yeah, how do you explain that defensive performance today, Nathan?
I don't know, to be honest, especially the first goal. Because with City, as Craig said, they do have a very, very high line. But the beauty of that high line, it tends to come at a point where there's real big pressure being applied to the opposition on the field. But for that goal there, the first ball, I think, from Davies was uncontested. And then when Kane played that brilliant ball around the corner, there was nobody who was within 3-4 yards of him anyway. So for Diaz to think that's the right time to step up, it's completely missing the point. I think they need to have understood that danger that bit more. And this is the danger. I think sometimes you look at games and you'll see people in and around others. But there's a difference between actually affecting the play and being passive. And I think for all three goals today, they were exceptionally passive. But to mention Harry Kane and how well he played, I don't know what you think about this, Craig, but when we look back at, say, the way things were in the Euros and at the start of the season, you saw a guy who maybe was playing a bit deep, wasn't really breaking his back to get into the box. But you look at his first goal today, and he's sprinting past so many people to make sure he gets on the end of that. And then in the last minute of the game, get yourself in the box, get yourself a goal. Because I think from my side personally, start of the season, I thought there were other players who seemed to have a greater desire to be in and about it when the ball comes into the box. But now I'm looking at that and I'm saying, well, this is exactly what City would have needed if he was playing at this sort of level. But yeah, as I say, defensively for City, they have to do better. They have to read the situation better. And credit to them. They came in, they only conceded 14 goals in the league so far. But then three today is something where you really need to take a good look at it, because I think a lot of those opportunities would have been avoidable.
You know, Guardiola will be looking at that, saying, yeah, we're still fit. And I agree, they're still favourites to win the league. They've just made it a little bit more difficult for themselves. Just little chink of light. Liverpool, we're going to talk about them, but for an hour they looked as if they were shooting themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. But they've just given a little hope, but he'll be in there, Guardiola, thinking, yeah, I know we can win it without a striker and we're still playing great and we're still scoring all these goals, but boy, that was a performance. That was something different. You know, that was something different. It was an all-round performance from a player who almost wanted to show City what they could have had if they just paid a little bit of extra money, and he'd have been playing for a club that was challenging on every front, and it could have made it could have made a difference. We'll see how City far they go in terms of success this year, whether it's the lot, whether it's the league and the Champions League, we don't know. But Guardiola must have been having a glass of wine in his office thinking maybe another 10 or 20 million would have got that guy, because that's with the
just staring at Grealish going
I think with the fact that they didn't have that much possession, but when they did get it to him, and I feel as if I'm sort of eulogising about him, but he was that good. This was Harry Kane at his best. This was the reason why, if Man City didn't go and get him, the likes of Man United should have gone and just blistered everybody out the ballpark with a fee to Tottenham in the summer and brought him in. It was that kind of performance. And Antonio Conte will be lapping that up tonight.
Don, as Jan tweeted, you were right about Harry Kane tearing up at the Etihad this season.
Told you. He was good, though, Dan, wasn't he? I mean, I echo everything Craig's just said. I mean, Guardiola, it's one of them where you just sort of get sick and tired of talking about Man City with no strikers. It's almost like we should all have T-shirts on saying we're not going to talk about that anymore. But then you just get a reminder of how good Harry Kane is when he's at his best. And you look at it, you just think, you wonder what Man City might be if they had a Harry Kane.
Liverpool fans, of course, absolutely delighted with that result as they came from behind to beat Norwich. So 6 points is all that separate the top two. Remember, City were 10-1 on, I think, when we discussed it last week. That has been trimmed to 5-1 on. Liverpool 7-2. As you said, Craig, Liverpool almost shot themselves in the foot. It took them an hour, really, to get going. But when they did, they blew Norwich away.
A few chances in the first half. Some of them would be half chances. The first goal was a great goal, and this was Dean Smith will be raging at Norwich, because as good as it is from Liverpool, you really, as a back line, can't be getting caught out by the goalkeeper punting it up the field. But Mo Salah, just a piece of brilliance. This was absolutely terrific ball from Jordan Henderson and Luis Diaz, who has looked really, really lively since he signed.
Yeah.
Has a great first touch, and the second touch to clip it over the keeper just shows the quality that he's got. But no Firmino today, no Jota. Fullbacks were changed, so there was no Alexander-Arnold and there was no Robertson. Gomez and Tsimikas, good players. But Thiago had to come off the bench to give them a little bit of composure in the middle of the park. It looked at one point as if it didn't matter what was going to happen later in the day.
Yeah.
It looked like, you know, a game that should have been 3 or 4 or 5 on paper was going to completely go against them. And the title was going to be over. But in true Jurgen Klopp style, Liverpool found a way, they turned it around at home, and that little bit of quality shone through. But boy, it was a risk and reward with the injuries and the rotation. Mm-hmm. It could have gone wrong, but in the end it didn't.
It's funny, in the name of 4 o'clock in Liverpool local time, everyone would be all doom and gloom, negative. We've let it slip against Norwich. And then by 7:30, not only have they beaten Norwich, but obviously City losing as well, blows it all open.
Well, let's be clear, it wasn't exactly closed before, but I understand what you're trying to go for. I think with Liverpool, one thing they're showing here with that result, it's not necessarily about performance, it's about getting the results. And this is why in the past they've won the Premier League in the last 2-3 years. And looking at them as well, between them and City, the gap, you know, it's 6 points now. Obviously, Liverpool have a game in hand. But one thing which both sides have the potential to do is to win 5-10 games in a row. Mm. So it's almost a question of who's that going to be in this final stretch of the season. But for Liverpool, you know, they are second favourites right now. But, you know, this is a side that they've gotten into the 90-point range in 2 out of the last 3 seasons, I believe. So they're more than capable of sort of going on a run now. And it makes for a great title race. Obviously, before at 6 points, it was still very much a title race in itself. But now it's like they're encouraged, thinking, if we can keep winning, then we can go to the Etihad and we can win that game. Then before you know, we might be top of the league. Because I think that's one thing about Liverpool. I don't think they're going to be concerned about what City are doing. I think now they're going to try and say, well, now it's down to us. If we can win all our games, then we can win this league.
Don, I've been bombarded with one tweet after another asking you the question. I think you can imagine what it is.
What is it?
Yep. What percentage for Liverpool to win the league?
Listen, after the first 45, I thought zero. I thought absolute zero. Having said that, I thought Mo Salah looked sharp. I thought he looked really, really good. I thought he was very lively. But I never fear with Liverpool when they kick towards the top end in the second half. I always fear they're going to. I always feel as though they're going to turn it on. And the introduction of Thiago was the difference. You know, we talk about Liverpool's subs in San Siro midweek that made the difference. Exactly the same scenario. I thought the balance was wrong in midfield. I didn't think Naby Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and Jordan Henderson in the middle particularly suit Jordan Henderson. He likes to play on the sort of right-hand side. They probably missed Fabinho a little bit. And then once Thiago come on centrally, it allowed Jordan Henderson to get a little bit wider, and they turned it on and they absolutely blew Norwich away second half. So in terms of performances, all-round performances, it wasn't that bad for Liverpool. It was just a little bit edgy, just a little bit nervy, and the Liverpool fans in the stadium were a little bit anxious.
You never get
give the people what they want, Don.
Give them it, Don.
60-40 against.
Ooh.
That's one of his better ones.
You reckon? 60-40?
I was going to go 70-30 against, but 60-40.
Yeah. Nadum?
60-40.
Sorry, I don't do math. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. Come on. Sorry, come on, City bad. TV. Sort it out. What's your percentage?
I've lost you. I can't
come on,
I can't
Rebel.
Come on. Hey, what's this? Nonsense. At least you've got any City shirts on today. Percentage name?
Well, yeah, that's positive.
100.
I'm going to say 60-40.
60-40. When's that game? That's in April, isn't it?
April the 9th, I believe, for that weekend.
I didn't want a specific date.
Well, you asked me when the game was, and I told you.
Well, just tell them April.
Oh, that's far too specific. Don't tell me that.
To be honest, I'm not used to you, but I didn't think you'd know that, because you're normally flapping around with stuff.
I know. I was thinking of going on holiday that week. That's what I was looking.
Was you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, but I tell you what, that's going to be... Yeah, at least they're keeping them honest. I mean, I think it's Leeds, you said to me, Liverpool have got...
Yeah, midweek, isn't it?
In midweek.
Yeah.
That'll be...
I go out and know everything today.
Sorry?
I know everything today. This is good.
It's not going to catch on. What's happened to you?
Right, what are you saying now?
No, I'm not going to say
okay, that. Meanwhile, Arsenal. Let's talk about the top four race. Spurs, of course, getting a big win. Arsenal as well with the win against Brentford. It really is all to play for. West Ham could only manage a 1-1 draw against Newcastle. I think they're kind of out of the conversation now. The bookies certainly agree with that statement.
Well, I think we've had a bit of a faux pas with that graphic.
Why? What's happened?
Well, you know, Wolverhampton Wanderers, who Tottenham have just jumped above,
right,
have two games in hand.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Right. I'm pushing my...
The Wolves didn't play today, though, did they?
Well, they're still...
We're talking about what's happened today, really, in the relevance of it.
Well, but they're still on the league table.
How good were Arsenal today, Don?
I think they got the job done, Dan. I think it's one of them where they hadn't played at home for something like 26 days, and it was like we'd not seen them play for a long time. It felt like that way anyway. Smith Rowe got a great goal. Saka started the move. There was a little question in the build-up. There was a question of a potential foul from Lacazette, but VAR had a look at it, said it was fine. And a 2-0 were cruising, lost the late goal. A little bit of jeopardy towards the end, but they deserved the 3 points. They were just professional, I would say. Professional performance and a good win.
Which Arsenal fans will be delighted with, Nainum.
Yeah, for sure. It's not really something you tend to associate with this modern Arsenal, but for them to just get the job done, given the fact that, you know, the last time they played Brentford, it was the opening gate day of the season, and that didn't go too well. But, you know, they're in a different moment now, and I think it's right that they are favourites, essentially, in some ways, for that top four, because they seem to be the side that are the most consistent right now. You know, you seem to get Jekyll and Hyde of United. West Ham seems to be spluttering a little bit. And Spurs, obviously, they won today, but after losing three games in a row, you kind of wondered what was going on there. But for Arsenal, they're quietly going about their business. And I suppose it's a positive for them because they believe that it's in their hands. If they can win those games in hand, they'll be in fourth, and who knows? Maybe they'll be able to hold that position from now to the end of the season.
And you know who they're playing midweek?
I don't.
Wolves.
Wolves exist, do they?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you want to bring up Wolves?
Well, it's funny because I played them only a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
How the hell that's all working out. But I said to you a week or two ago, I've got as much confidence in Arsenal getting in the top four as I have any team.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's because I've got a huge confidence in Arsenal per se, or it's the other teams, as the boys have mentioned, that are just seem flaky. I mean, you look at Tottenham today. Nobody saw that kind of resolute performance coming with a bit of sprinkling of real quality going forward. Because let's be honest, against Southampton and Wolves, they were hopeless. Hopeless. And then you go to the best team in the country at the moment and you put in that sort of rugged, determined performance. You just didn't see it coming. Nobody is showing their hand. Really. Arsenal maybe a little bit. And I think, I do agree with the bookies here. I just feel West Ham are just running out of energy a little bit. Running out of ideas.
Yeah.
So... And the game's in hand, obviously, as well. But Arsenal-Wolves midweek, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Meanwhile, Chelsea.
What day is it?
What day is the Arsenal day? I won't tell you. It's this week.
I'll let you wheel out at the end this Lukaku stat. It's absolutely...
Chelsea left it late for a win against Crystal Palace. Of course, haven't been in league action for a long time. Don, is there much to say about this game?
I think the big... talking point from the game, Dan, is not Chelsea winning the game, even though it was a good win. It was the lack of touches and the lack of performance from Romelu Lukaku. He had two touches in the first half and one was from a kick-off.
Wow.
So I don't think it's a Lukaku problem, i.e. the player. I think it's a worry how Chelsea have paid all that money for a top-class striker, but they're not using him and they're not getting the best out of him. So maybe Chelsea are trying to turn themselves into a more possession side. When I watched them at Inter, it was a case of the five-man midfield working hard, but loads of quality, banging the ball into Lukaku double quick, where he could pin defenders, roll defenders and use his strength and use his class, if you like. But that must have been a worry. I think overall, I could be wrong, but I think it was something like seven touches in total, which is a Premier record low for a front man. So that's I think, the takeaway from the game, how poor Chelsea were getting Lukaku in the game.
How do you explain that?
I don't know about the game because I was watching the Liverpool game, but by all accounts, it wasn't a great performance, but Chelsea got the job done in the end and that's all they had to do. I'm not having two touches and a half and one of them is kickoff. I'm not having that as Chelsea keeping the ball, because I've never known anybody, even with a possession-based team, that's telling me his movement is awful. Because you can still come short, right. Still make these little five-yard runs, give and goes, it comes into your feet. All right, you have a bad touch, you lose it. Defender comes and nicks it off you, whatever. He's not making the right movement for Chelsea to play into his feet and get runners off him. If you're only getting one touch, apart from the kickoff, then you're not moving your backside. It's not everybody else's. It's not because people are not passing to him. It's because he's not getting into the right areas. That's the only reason it can be. As guys who've played the game, I can't get my head around how you can put yourself on the park in a position when you're playing for the dominant side that you're only able to get one touch of the ball.
What about the argument that Chelsea aren't set up to help Lukaku?
Well,
and this proves that.
Well, that's a different argument. That's a different argument, whether they're playing to his style or not. That's nothing to do with the amount of touches that he's going to get. One touch, an open play in 45 minutes, is not because they're not passing him the ball. It's because he's not taking up good positions to get it into his feet. I'm sorry, but you can't play it in behind all the time when teams defend deep against you. You just can't do it. And yeah, they should be getting it wide and playing balls into the box for his strength to go and attack it more often. But if you've got one touch of the ball in 45 minutes since you kicked that ball for the kickoff, you're not making the right movement. It's impossible. I mean, you could run about in the field and try and do that.
Right.
You could run about and try not to touch it for 45 minutes, and it'd probably be more difficult. So
I don't know. They never passed me the ball at school.
You're rubbish.
Don.
I didn't see the game live because I was commentating on a 3 o'clock kickoffs, and that was part of the goal rush. So we've seen the goals and the action. I'd have to watch and analyse the game overall, whether it was a lack of movement from him, whether it was midfield
service. When you played up front for Scotland and we played together, right?
Yeah.
And you went through because you played at midfield and then you went up front. You played up there on your own for a bit. If you'd come in at half time and you had one touch of the ball,
human,
you'd have been ashamed of yourself.
I would have. I'd have been fuming. I'm with you, Craig. I can't understand how you can have so few touches in a game, in a half. I don't understand it. I'm trying to wrap my brain on what the circumstances were. It's bizarre.
I mean, if Manchester City, right, the top team in the country at the moment, played, say, a team in the bottom tier of English football,
right,
at the Etihad, in the FA Cup, I'd be astonished if their striker only got one touch of the ball. In a game where Man City would probably have 90-odd% possession against the 92nd team in the Football League, I'd be astonished if their striker at the Etihad only had one touch. I think he'd have probably more than that, easily. I said, well, I can't get my head around that. That to me, is absolutely bonkers.
It's because you hate Chelsea. That's it. Looking to poke more holes in them. 1997. Just a reminder, Don and Naden will be back for extra time to answer your tweets. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Real Madrid fans were hoping for a response from their side after that defeat against PSG as they're in action against struggling Alaves on Saturday. I tell you what, the first half they were dreadful, booed off at the break. Much improved though in the second. Asensio with a brilliant goal, a fantastic team goal will be finished off by Vinicius Jr. And then late on, Karim Benzema converting a spot kick to give Real Madrid the victory 3-0, meaning that they establish a 7-point lead then at the top of La Liga table. A much needed win to silence some of the critics. Let's go to Madrid, shall we, and get some more reaction to this result as we welcome in Alexis Nunez is with Luis Garcia. But let's kick things off, shall we, with our match commentators, Steve McManaman and Derek Ray. What do you make of that, boys? Much better second half.
Much better second half, Dan. I mean, it couldn't really get any worse from a Real Madrid point of view. And I want to tell you, I was watching back closely in the few minutes before halftime, and you were waving your hands around, former Real Madrid player, just frustrated by what you were seeing.
Yeah, got into some wonderful positions at times in the first half, but their final ball, their decision-making with their passes into the box, whether it was Asensio, whether it was Vinicius Jr., whether it was Danny Carvajal, was overhit. It was into the goalkeeper's hands. It hit a defender. Really disappointing, because we know they're much better than that. And we saw it in the second half. The last 25 minutes of the game was the best 25 minutes of the game. And you wanted all to the game to carry on, because Real Madrid would have scored more. We know what they can offer. We know what the fans are like. We just want to see those moments of brilliance more. That's all it was. You just get spoiled, don't you, with what you've seen. And when you come, you want to see a spectacle. You want to be entertained. So when you served up that first 45 minutes today, you just wanted to punch somebody. And we got the right results. I never thought they were ever going to lose the game, because Alaves were a little bit insipid up top, at least. We know they've struggled with goals. It was just about staying in the game. So it was the right result in the end. You just wanted the better 90 minutes rather than the better 25 minutes.
Thank goodness for that hot pepper sandwich that you consumed at halftime. And you're going to finish off a bit later on.
He's got that. It's just over there.
He's got
it's
that to look forward to. But it was hot pepper football from Real Madrid for most of the second half, starting with that goal by Marco Asensio. But he's a lucky lad, isn't he?
Oh, he's a very lucky lad. He was a very lucky lad, because actually, Pons, who came on with his first touch of the ball, as Craig rightly said, he rushes it. His first touch around the goalkeeper, he could have easily settled himself, stuck it in with his left foot. He tries to do it all too quick. They should have been one down. It could have been back to the wall then. But the fact that he sure had the presence of mind to go down and create a moment of brilliance when the crowd was on his back, Marco Asensio, they were after him. You could hear it here. So the fact that they allowed, let him come inside on his left foot and do something like that, which we have seen him do many times before. And you can see his frustration there. But that was the one. Once that went in, you just almost felt a huge sigh of relief in the stadium. And then the second goal, was brilliant. Second goal was excellent, full of confidence, full of movement, full of nice flicks. And Real Madrid started to show how good they are.
Yeah, I don't think we'll tire of looking at that second goal again, because as you said, the finish by Vinicius Junior is one thing, and as Craig said, he timed his run particularly well, an imaginative run, but the build-up before that, just a joy to behold.
Yeah, and we've shown like five or six passes. We've gone from here. You could go further and further back, but that flick round the corner from Benzema, this 1-2 and a no-look pass there from Asensio, the vision by Benzema, the awareness by Vinicius Junior, it was a lovely team goal, and that's what you want to see. And that's what got the crowd on its feet tonight. One of the rare occasions why they were on their feet. But thankfully they had it, and now they've cemented themselves at the top of the league again. 7 points clear. Huge goal difference on Sevilla. And the pressure goes on Sevilla going to their away game against Espanyol.
Yeah, that's the thing. Real Madrid needed to make that statement and they needed to get points on the board, knowing that they had the advantage. Get in there first and see what Sevilla can do. That's not an easy place to go necessarily.
And Sevilla are not the Barcelona of old, you know, that type of tussle, but you have to put pressure on your opponents. When anybody gets close to you, and when there's pressure on a certain team, you have to go, you have to do the business, you have to win your games, and you automatically go, right, it's down to you now. And let's see how Sevilla respond. We all want them to respond because we want them to be a title race, don't we? When Barcelona are not doing well and Atletico Madrid have been faltering, we want teams like Sevilla and Betis from that part of the country to do well. So I want them to go and run Real Madrid really close.
And as Craig said, for Marco Asensio, a case of telling people to shut up. And Real Madrid might shut a few people up on the back of the second half performance, at least, because people were talking after what happened in Paris.
Yes, they were. And they were talking about what's happened in February to a certain extent. And they have been over-reliant on Vinicius Junior and certainly Benzema. And Vinicius Junior is only 21. So he will fluctuate. His form will fluctuate a bit. Benzema, of course, they need him, and they need him to stay fit. They both got on the score sheet tonight. There was questions asked. The fact that they've both scored will answer a lot of them, and it'll keep a lot of people happy.
Absolutely the case. And I can tell you, Dan, that I actually have a full whole sandwich waiting for me, as opposed to the half sandwich that awaits Macca. So
not anymore.
Hey, tell you what, those two, trust
looking
me, those,
forward to consuming it.
Those
hopefully.
Two are going to paint the town red tonight.
Hey, I tell you what, Macca is, hey, speaking of painting, look at Macca, hits 50, gets the old fake tan out.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's amazing.
You need to take Derek, give some to Derek as well, man. Take it to the beach. Meanwhile, pitch side for the game, of course, Alexis Nunes and Luis Garcia as well. A game with two halves, guys.
Yeah, exactly, Dan. I think that's a perfect way to describe it, Luis. And in the end, 3-0 on paper, when you look at it, having not seen the performance from Madrid, I think it is a bit too flattering for what we saw today. But if you're Carlo Ancelotti, do you look at it as, look, it's a win, it was ugly, but we're back on track? Or do you still have some of those concerns going forward?
Not at all. And Ancelotti mentioning in a few times on press conference, sometimes you are not going to play well, sometimes you are not going to dominate the game, sometimes you have to understand that the other team is doing well, that you got moments where you cannot play the best of your game, but at the end it's a result, and he knows that at the moment it's about results. People here at the stadium is not going to ask for you playing like the one of the goals that we've seen doing backheel and mags and dummies and everything. They're going to expect a result, because against Alaves you can expect, of course, a Real Madrid doing well, and well, but at the end getting the 3 points, keeping the distance from Sevilla at this moment, and I think it's the most important, and Ancelotti knows very well.
Does it not bother you a little bit, though, considering Alaves are, you know, fighting relegation, so to speak? This is a Real Madrid that is Real Madrid, and you wanted to see them dominate. We just talked about that. This is the perfect performance, not just to send a message in La Liga, but I suppose ahead of this return leg against PSG in the Champions League.
No, definitely they need to think about what they are not doing well, because there is a lot of things that at the moment they are not happening here for the team. And for me, something that it concerns me is that when you play against Alaves, you have to keep the same players that you play against Paris Saint-Germain no longer go, and you don't give it even minutes to the players that maybe you are going to use, because Mendy is not going to be playing in the game against Paris Saint-Germain, Casemiro is not going to be playing, so you need to think about what are you going to do against that game, and that means that you could use some of the players that you got on your bench, because you're going to need them. They're going to have need to have confidence for that game, and today you could see it. They played maybe 10 minutes at the end, maybe Lucas Vázquez and Marcelo, but I think that at the moment, there are a lot of things that I think that Ancelotti needs to think about if they want to see this Real Madrid going through in Champions League and also here in La Liga.
So still plenty of questions to ask about Real Madrid, but we also had a lot of questions to ask about Karim Benzema and Vini Jr. They both got on the score sheet today. As a player who, as we talked about earlier, it's natural to go through dips in form, especially Benzema coming back from injury too. These two goals, how much does it help their confidence?
No, a lot. And you could see that in the second half, the moment that the ball start moving faster on the pitch, that they start combining, that they start moving. In the first half, we didn't see much movement from both of the players. Benzema a little bit more, but Vinicius was stuck there on the right side. And the moment that he start moving a little bit in the middle, asking for the ball, he start feeling that confidence. And, well, you could see what they can do every single time they are on the ball. So at the end, it's about that they feel comfortable in the game, that they trust in each other, and well, they can do that kind of stuff. Beautiful goals.
Beautiful goals indeed for that one. And, I mean, I suppose going forward for Real Madrid, as Dan was just saying, Sevilla now, the pressure's kind of on them to catch it. Real Betis, of course, are in the mix right now. But if you're Real Madrid, you're still kind of feeling a bit comfortable? Is that too early to say that word?
No, of course you have to feel comfortable. The problem is when you arrive here, then you drop 2 points or you lose the game, and then you start seeing Sevilla getting more trust in themselves and start pushing higher and closing the gap. But today it was 3 points. It was a performance that, of course, a lot of things to worry. In the second half, we could see a few brilliant moments from Real Madrid, and that's the most important for them. They have to go back, rest, and get ready for the next game and see what happened with Sevilla.
One player I do want to talk about quickly, I suppose, is Marco Asensio, the other goal scorer tonight. Craig pointed it out perfectly, which I think sums it up. You know, he does tend to score these clutch goals when Real Madrid need him every now and again, but he's also culpable of a number of mistakes. How do you rate him, I suppose, in this Real Madrid front three? Because like we said, there tends to be a mistake in him. He does tend to cop a lot of flack from the fans. We know that they were booing him a couple of times, which is why he kind of did a little shh and then pointed to the crest after once he scored. But what do you see of his role?
I think that at the moment he's having the best season at Real Madrid,
right?
Talking about goals, and he's getting more minutes, getting more confidence. It's true that sometimes for moments during the game, he's not involved into the game. He's playing very wide. He likes to play a little bit more in the middle, to be more combining with the players in the midfield. And when you have to wait in your position, waiting for the ball to arrive, it's not always the best thing. And much more for a player who is not normally getting the ball like Vinicius and trying to be players 1v1. He likes to get, to combine. And when he's close to the box, showing like that what he's done today, because it's not the first time he's done it. So at the end, of course, as the season continues to move forwards, it's going to continue being very, very important. And at the moment, I think he's the third one in the top scorer here for Real Madrid, and in La Liga, he's one of the best ones. So I think he's doing a great job.
All right, well, there you have it, Dan. I suppose, as Luis said, still a lot of concerns for Carletto Ancelotti for this Real Madrid team, because we all know that in a couple of days' time, the main one that they are looking ahead to is that clash with PSG, and that's exactly what the fans want to bounce back to win.
Great stuff, as always. Guys, thank you very much. As you mentioned, of course, focus now on Espanyol against Sevilla, as the visitors will be looking to close the gap back to 4 points. After that, tomorrow, it's Valencia against Barcelona. Coverage starting 9:45 here on ESPN+. And the day rounds up, a bit of Basque derby action. The new San Mamés Athletic Club against Real Sociedad. Coverage of that game starts at 2:30.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And for more on that Valencia-Barca game, let's head back to Madrid and hear from Luis Garcia and Alexis Nunes.
Yeah, Dan, a juicy one coming up, I suppose. Two neighbours that know each other quite well, Barcelona-Valencia. Luis, of course, having played against Valencia many times, I suppose. But this Valencia now struggling, so to speak. We know the Mestalla is not an easy place to go, but they haven't won a match in La Liga since December 20. So does that make it, I suppose, advantage Barcelona?
Yeah, definitely. And after what we've seen in the last couple of games, much more against Inter, I think the Xavi proved that the change at Barcelona is happening. You could see that the players are getting the message that what Xavi wants, a lot of intensity, pressure up front. And, well, with players that they are recovering. Now we saw a good Dembélé the other day. Aubameyang was very impressive as well. So at the end, it's about trying to capitalize those chances they had. And if they do the same thing that they happen against Inter, I think they got many chances to get the 3 points.
One of the weak spots, I suppose, for Barcelona that we have been talking about is defensively, in their defence. And they're going to be without a couple of big names in Dani Alves and Gerard Piqué, some seniority there because of suspension. No Ronald Araujo as well for injury. And that's a big one to miss for this one, isn't it?
Very big one. I think at the moment, Araujo is the player who keeps the things tight at the back. Of course, Piqué also is a very important player because he's the one who got the history, he's got the experience. But I think Araujo has been very impressive, helping a lot in the right side, also helping into the middle, very good in the air as well, in defence and also in attack. So I think the Barcelona have to be ready to understand that it's not going to be the easiest game of the season, but that they need it. They need it if they want to continue fighting for the top four for Champions League next year.
Overall, Luis, give me how do you see this going? Give me a little prediction.
A little prediction. I still think that Xavi is doing well, that he's going to make it, and well, hopefully, probably is my heart talking at the moment.
Of course.
He's going to get 1-2 for Barcelona. Let's see what happens.
All right. So Luis is going for a Barcelona win. We know that Xavi's boys do love to fight back. But as we said, Dan, there are some problems defensively. They're going to be without a couple of big names. But at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you very much, guys. Meanwhile, in Italy, Milan missed the opportunity to stretch their lead over Inter as they could only manage a 2-2 draw away against Salernitana. Meanwhile, in France, big surprise there as Nantes beat PSG by 3-1. All goals coming for the hosts in the first half. Neymar would miss a second half penalty. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She Believes Cup continues tomorrow as the US women take on their New Zealand counterparts. That game live on ABC at 3 p.m. Eastern. A lot of reaction to that game, the tournament so far on Football Americas. That drops on Monday with Seb and Herc on ESPN Plus.
102nd edition.
We'll be there. 100 and
sub. Still no invite.
102nd show. Yeah,
I'll mark it off when I go home.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much. For everyone who has been on, be sure to stay tuned. No, Don and Nadem are back. Craig, obviously, here as well.
I'm going to do a Lukaku on extra time.
Oh, really?
I'm doing nothing.
Oh, don't change the usual. Here we are then. Welcome to the latest edition.
I'll introduce it and then that's it, like taking the kick off.
Oh, really? And that'll be it. Two touches in one half. That's quite something.
I tell you what. It's great work if you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, don't be a busy fool. If you can get paid that amount for only having two touches, I'd tip my cap to you.
No, that's very true. You could just do monosyllabic answers to replicate that.
Well, that's what I did. I can give you cliches.
Don and Nathan are with us as well. Oh,
Nathan won't sleep tonight.
No, why not?
Man City.
Because Man City lost, I know.
Panicking.
Oh, he's burnt his Man City pyjamas.
He's going to go in one of these.
No, I'll be all right.
He burnt his pyjamas.
I'll be all right.
Who do you blame, Nathan? Who will get your wrath?
I'm going to blame you for saying it was over. This is all your fault. So you're to blame for this.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's all right. Could you all talk some more about how you all don't see Man City dropping any points? Seem to help, sincerely, all the Liverpool fans. Yeah, Craig, you said you didn't see City dropping points between now and the end of the season.
I said I didn't think they'd make many mistakes.
Right, well, you made a mistake there.
I didn't say make many. Did I ever say they will win every game between now and the end of the season? No, I did not.
Right. You didn't see this coming, though.
What?
Them losing at home to Spurs.
Well, I didn't see them losing at home to Palace, I think it was. I didn't see them drawing at Southampton in the way they did, to be honest. But I certainly didn't see this. Put the glasses down, they're annoying me. Huh. I didn't see this with this because of how poor Tottenham have been. I mean, Southampton, when they played, what did they call this? I always forget Tottenham Stadium now.
It's the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
A stupid name. Anyway. I always get mixed up because the London Stadium is West Ham. London Stadium is West Ham.
Yeah, right? I don't know. How are you ever going to remember that? It's tricky.
What?
By the way, it's impossible for Craig just to say a couple of words and that's him done for extra time.
That's very true.
Took up about 4 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said you were going to be Lukaku.
If I don't say anything, I get told off for not contributing enough. And when I do, I get... Anyway.
Don, you got to see us. Put your mask on.
What?
Put your mask on that you're wearing today. This is... You won't believe this is Craig Burley. Ready?
Wait. Hold on. No, can we just...
Right, cut away.
Get off me. Get off me. Get off me just now. Get off me. Come on, cut away.
Oh, no.
Right,
there you go. Ready? Here we go. Get ready for the unveiling of this. Okay. Look at that. Smiley faces.
My days.
Have you ever seen a more ironic mask?
You know what I was doing, Don? I was cleaning out my daughter's car, and she had a gazillion masks all... She has them for some reason wrapped around the automatic gear stick.
Okay.
And I think that's a bit dangerous, really.
Why?
I don't like that. Okay. Anyway, so I cleared it all out and I thought, most of them are sort of white and black, and a couple of them are those big gas masks that Derek Ray wears.
Yes.
You know, because he doesn't want anybody breathing on him from inside a mile. Right. And I saw this one, it was my daughter's car, and I went, oh, that's very me.
Yeah, I think it is very you. Yes,
so exactly. I thought beautiful. I'd wear it in the day with the smiley faces.
Wonderful. Okay.
There's nothing I do in this place that doesn't get scrutinised.
When you walked in like that, what do you expect to happen? For Craig, any rant on Lukaku now, or is it only reserved for teams celebrating trophies and Manchester United?
Oh, we did that in the show.
Yeah, we did it. We had
it wasn't a rant. It was an explanation of how nobody can get their head around how a professional player at a club who is a dominant...
It had a ranty edge to it.
Oh, I mean, how do you have two touches?
Yeah, Nathan, we didn't ask you on the show about it because you didn't see the game. Would you like to throw an opinion in?
Yeah, I'm going to throw an opinion in. I think Chelsea's style of play obviously doesn't lead to like Lukaku being the most important player. But still, two touches is ridiculous. Especially when you think about like you could have made a tackle. You could have, say, won a header. You could have been running in behind. You could have been running short. Like, it's weird. It's incredibly like, I don't know. Like, how could... I can't get my head around it because you need to have some level of impact within the game. And if your sole task was to occupy the two centre-backs when your team had the ball, then... Fair enough, but you'll still have more than one touch in open play through 45 minutes. I think he's going to be looking back at that 45 and wondering, like, what went wrong? Because if you're really not needed by your team at all in open play, then it's a serious question you need to ask yourself about what is the point.
He had 5 touches in the second half.
I mean, to be honest, even at that, but even 5 touches, but, you know... When I saw the thing, it said one touch was a kickoff and then only one touch during the game. I mean, if one of the strikers I'd played with during my time had only Trust me, if we'd have come in, all eyes in the dressing room would have gone straight to that player.
Right.
And there would have been an almighty discussion.
It's a record.
Is that a record?
It's the lowest number of touches in the Premier League history of a player that played 90 minutes.
Yeah, and I do agree with... I do take Nedham's point that Chelsea sometimes do play a sort of pedestrian way from side to side. At times they do. But I go back to what I said on the show, which was, you're getting yourself in some really bad positions if they can't even on half a... I'm going on the low side here. Even to slide it into you six or seven times during a half, if you even can't get yourself into a position for them to do that, and I think that is really low, six or seven times,
yeah,
then you're not in a good position. One touch? When I look in the dressing room, I said, I've had one touch. How do you... I can't get my head around it.
Craig, has Benzema saved Florentino Perez? Since Cristiano left, he has spent 120 million on Hazard, 60 million on Jovic, and sold players like Kovacic, Hakimi, Varane. If not for Benzema rising to lead the team, Madrid would be in a worse situation than Barcelona.
Yeah, Hakimi's been... I mean, again, Hakimi's performance in midweek was excellent. Super fast defender. I suppose the Hazard one is the sort of main one, hasn't it? But, but yeah, to answer the question, pretty much he's, you know, Benzema has stepped up big time,
yep,
and been the guy. Stepped up majorly and been the guy. And still is.
Craig, a lot of questions for you today. Okay. Craig, what was the craziest thing you witnessed at an Old Firm derby by fans, players and or coaches?
I don't know. I once saw Gaza doing something we shouldn't have been doing, but then that was a weekly occurrence.
Right, yeah.
Gaza was playing, pretending to play an instrument.
Yeah.
That he shouldn't have been doing.
Yes.
Whilst warming up behind the goals in front of 60,000 and was subsequently banned.
Did he play the game?
He was on the bench.
Right.
I was playing at the time, so we didn't see this. But he went off to do the warm-up,
yes,
and somebody told him,
yeah,
as they usually did, they egged him on, and he went, oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Right.
And it almost caused an eruption behind the goals because the Rangers fans were in the corner there, and then the rest of the crowd was 55,000 Celtic. So, yeah, it was one of the many bits of hot water that Paul got himself in when he was in Scotland.
Yes, yeah.
Because obviously up there is very brittle with the sectarian element of the games and the supporters and the political landscape. And incidents like that are a powder keg situation.
Right.
And something like that, it can just blow up. So, but yeah, that was about one of the rest of it, just the usual sort of people try to kill each other and
the standard.
Try to, you know, when you get off the bus at Ibrox, they try to attack you, picking the stewards up, throwing the stewards at you, you know, anything to get. But yeah, that's normal. That's things that you just deal with. You know, the abuse is something that you just have to accept.
Yeah. And what was it like when you played against Millwall, Nathan? Was it just chaos?
Millwall.
Yeah.
I never played against them in like a big derby, but there were two Millwall stories I have for you. One of them was when Ian Holloway was our manager at QPR and he'd left Millwall in sort of like funny circumstance. So we were driving to the game and all their fans were gathered. They were like trying to throw stuff at the bus and so on. And you're thinking like, you know, a manager would just try and stay low key. But instead he walked to the front of the bus and started dancing in front of them, just making sure that they all got exceptionally riled up. And then the other one was at Main Road. I was a ball boy, and I used to ball boy in front of the North Stand, which is where the home and the away fans would be. It's like quite intense. And all I remember is when Millwall came down, the amount of chairs that were getting thrown at people, it was insane. They're a very, very tough bunch of fans, I'd say that for sure.
You were a ball boy at Main Road? God, we're feeling my age. I used to love Main Road.
Ah.
Did you ever go there, Dan? Man City's old ground.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't.
That was some stand, Nedham, the Kippax.
Yeah, it
Kippax
was.
Kippax, Don, you must have played there. I mean, that was a great place. It was a proper old-fashioned old ground.
Right.
Just big. The pitch always seemed... Was it just me, Don, having played there? Where the pitch seemed massive?
Right.
Massive.
I think Nedham could have been a ball boy for one of your games.
But it might have been.
Yeah.
There's every chance, yeah.
That was a famous game. That was a famous game, but one of the famous games where Mark Hughes, I've told this story, where Mark Hughes kicked Keith Curl in the head.
Lovely, that's nice.
Have I told you this one, Nedim?
No, go on, please.
So, Sparky, Mark Hughes, the nicest man in the world, until he gets on the pitch and then he's horrible. He kicked, I've told you this, haven't I? Him and Keith Curl were tussling. Keith Curl, big, rugged centre half for Man City at the time. And Mark Hughes hated centre halves.
Right.
Because he said, they kicked me all my career. So, the ball broke away and I turned round and Mark Hughes and Keith Curl were basically having a fight on the ground while the play was going on. And Hughesy kicked him towards the head and they were going at it. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, played the game. We're in the bath at the end of the game, as they used to have the big bath there. And Mark still lived in Manchester, in that area. In fact, he lived next door to Keith Curl. And I said to him, Nedim, what are you doing tonight? And he said, oh, me and the wife are going out for a meal with Keith Curl and the wife. And I said, hold on a minute. I said, half an hour ago, I've just seen you kicking him in the head. He went, yeah, it's just a game, isn't it? I said, all's fair in love and war.
Crazy.
Is it brilliant? Yeah, and people won't realise. They think everybody is bitter and against players and they're fighting on the field and, you know, arguing. And sometimes it is animosity.
Right.
But a lot of the times, guess what? It's a job.
Right.
You're trying to do your job. And then at the end of it, most of the personal stuff, most of the time, gets left. And you go and have a beer. Not all the time.
Yeah.
But 99% of the time, the personal stuff is left.
That's brilliant.
And that was Sparky in a nutshell. When he crossed the white line, the man turned in to a freaking psychopath. And then when he came back off again,
right,
he was the quietest man in the world.
Really?
Yes.
What was he like as a coach, Nedim?
He was very, very quiet. Very quiet. I didn't quite get the feeling that he hated defenders as much as that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I did used to watch him and he was firm. But yeah, I enjoyed him. He was a good guy. You could have a joke with him every now and again, but he doesn't like to give too much away for sure. Nothing's changed.
We were playing Arsenal once and we're going out the tunnel and I don't think he particularly liked Martin Keown. Because Martin was a great defender, but he was also a hardy defender. And we're going out the tunnel and Sparky was like this and he went, I said, what's up? He went, I hate defenders. I'm going to fight them today. And guess what? Keown gets sent off.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, his theory was they've been kicking me in the Achilles and the calves. Centre halves have been kicking me for years and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get my own back.
Wow.
Yeah. And he did.
Nedim, does Pep's idealism sometimes let him down as opposed to just sticking with continuity? Bernardo has been striving, coming from deep all season, but today he played him as a nine. There's no punctuation in this. Similarly, with what he did with Gundogan,
call the grammar,
pushing
please.
He far away from goal in the Champions League final.
Yeah, I think you read that out okay. I think if we're going to talk about two specific games over the last sort of like 9 months or so, it's probably not worth crying about. I think managers at times, maybe they do make mistakes, but I guess it's with the thought process, the working, and it could have worked out differently for City. If they defended better, maybe they would have won the game. But, you know, they make mistakes. No manager is perfect. And like I say, you know, he's still done a very, very good job to this point because they're still top of the league, still in the Champions League, still in the FA Cup. So he can't be that bad, really, even though he does things like play Bernardo through the middle, because on a different day, maybe it would have worked.
I fell asleep during the first half of Real Madrid against Alaves today.
So did we.
Don, have you ever done a Julien Faubert and fallen asleep watching your team play? Bonus points if you're on the bench.
No, I've never fallen asleep watching my team play, but I'll tell you a quick story about Jerry Taggart running me straight out of the stadium alight when you were talking about players who, as Craig said before, who you have a fight with during the game and you give loads of abuse to, and then you go in the bar afterwards and everything's fine. Well, Jerry Taggart was the type of player, not everything was going to be fine. So me and him were at the stadium alight. He was playing for Leicester, I was playing for Sunderland. We had an almighty row, carried on to the tunnel at half-time. Second half, exactly the same, both at each other. Full-time, he went, I'm going to do you down the tunnel. I was going, yeah, bring it on. I'll do you down the tunnel, this, that and the other. Then all of a sudden, I go in the bar, and he sort of comes in and security had to sort of get rid And I thought, I've got away with one there because he's like a lot harder than I was. What I didn't realise was when I got to my car, he must have been staying up to go out in Newcastle that night. And I was driving down the A19 and this car was up my backside about 6 feet away for about 2 miles of the A19 flashing, trying to pull me over. And I'm looking in the wing mirror and I'm seeing this like fella screaming at me and I'm thinking it's road rage. And I pull over and it's Jerry Taggart. He's going to rip my head off. And I just sped down the A19 for about 10 miles, going in the complete opposite direction.
Blooming egg, Don.
So I thought you were going to say...
That's what he was like.
I thought you were going to say Jerry had forgiven you and was going to have a beer.
No, no, he followed me down the A19, gone ballistic.
Ooh, that's why did you pull over?
Because I thought it was like road rage. I thought some guy might have been like in trouble or like he was so close to me, like car to car. Like it was ridiculous.
Wow.
I sort of like pulled over. I didn't stop. I sort of pulled over, slowed down, and he pulled on the outside of me. And I realised the size of Jerry Taggart's head, like the biggest head in the world, a big red head on. And then I was lucky. I was in a flash Mercedes that'd done about 200 mile an hour, and I just went woof.
Wow. Have you seen him since?
That's the Yeah, loads of times. You have a laugh about it all the time.
To be fair, those Leicester centre-halves at the time, oh, my God.
Jerry Taggart. Matty Elliott.
Big Matt Elliott, who played with us with Scotland, and Steve... Yeah.
Walsh?
Steve Walsh. Holy mush. Yeah. Mind you, the best one I ever saw was Nigel Pearson, the former Leicester and Watford and manager, former Middlesbrough player. The best one I ever saw was him trying to break our door in at Hillsborough at half-time when we played Sheffield Wednesday. And I was scared.
Yeah.
Very.
Right.
Because it took about four guys to stop the door being broken in. Because he was going to come in and he was going to eat literally going to eat Dimitri Karin. And the worrying thing was, Nigel wasn't actually playing that day. He was injured.
Wow.
He had saw something that he disliked.
Okay.
And had decided that the away dressing room door at Hillsborough was coming in. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen that film, Escape to Victory. Yeah. Somebody puts their arm in the door.
Yes.
To stop it opening, it gets broken. I was prepared to not do that, but put somebody in that position. If Nigel Pearson, who is one big hombre,
right,
had got in that dressing room,
yep,
don't know what would have happened. It's not, and Dimitri Karin, who the guy that he was after, I've told you this before, got in the shower at half-time, got all his clothes off and went in the shower. And Glenn Hoddle looked at him and said, Dimi, we've got the second half to play. He went, no play. Crazy. No play. Crazy English people. No play. No play. And they spent the whole... We didn't get a team talk at half-time because Glenn and Peter Shreves spent the whole 15 minutes in the shower trying to convince him to go back out in the field.
Wow.
He'd never seen
the
likes
times before. That.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Even times that every week with Vinnie Jones and John Fashion and the Crazy Gang.
Yep.
Oh.
I played with it. I mean, it was just... people don't realise. I mean, it was... Yeah. Some of the time it was bonkers.
Right.
And big... I mean, you don't realise how big... I mean, you see the players on TV and you go, these guys in real life, a lot of them are big.
Right.
Big, hardy guys. You know what I mean? It's like, they don't look as big in the telly, but they are.
Didn't Zlatan go after you in a locker room, Nathan?
Who, sorry?
Zlatan, he...
I beg your pardon?
Not a bad player.
No, I don't know what you mean, sorry.
No.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Has anyone else tried to kill you in a dressing room, Nathan, that you've wound up?
Nah, nothing to see there, Dan. On to the next one, please.
No, my goodness me. You ran away from him, I heard. That's what people were saying.
Listen, find the footage.
I've heard on good authority from one of my best friends in life, who also knows Nadim.
Who's one of your best? I didn't know you had any best friends.
I've got lots. All away from TV. My best man, Kevin Hitchcock, who Nadim knows, the goalkeeping coach,
right,
has told me on good authority that Nadim is not running away from anybody.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
Well, is there a story that you're leading to here?
Nope.
Well, that's it.
No.
He said Nadim is... I'll give you the words. I said, I was talking to him and I went... Oh, guy, you know Nadim, didn't you? He said he's working with us at FC. His first words were, don't try and fight him.
Wow.
He's as strong as an ox.
Blimey neck, Nathan.
There you go.
Well,
that must have been a few years ago.
That was before you got fat.
Well, yeah. It's inevitable.
Unlike us fitness guys, you know.
Hey, you joined the gym?
Joined the gym again. The old gym.
What a moment.
Well, what happened was, long story short...
Nobody cares.
They won't open the gym here at work, protocol. And I'm having to pay out my pocket now to go to the gym. Because I was a loyal...
You can claim that.
Somebody told me I can claim it on my taxes. I'm like, get out of here. Anyway, yeah, I've rejoined the gym.
Oh, what a moment.
So this... I shall hopefully in a couple of weeks be able to fasten.
Is it the same gym as Stevie?
Yeah, I go to the gym.
Right.
I don't go in the swimming pool and walk up.
Yeah, because Stevie can't swim, but he goes to the swimming pool. That's very Stevie. ESPN SC is back on your screens tomorrow. Lots to talk about, of course.
You're back.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do tomorrow? The gym?
I tell you what, I'm going to the gym tomorrow and I'm going to have I'm being full towel mode.
Full towel mode.
Over the machine.
We've seen it.
You've seen
it. Yeah. Cheers, guys.